Chapter 12, in which Feely and Keely are good at running. Feely and Keely are getting good at running. They've run with the family their whole lives, of course. They know how to keep their heads down and blend in. But Thorn is busier all the time, working constantly to keep them safe and find them a way home, and he lets them go more often than ever. When they were small, the family stayed together most of the time, traveling in a pack and staying together in rented houses, or camping in remote areas. Their encounters with the police grew closer and more frequent, though, and when Keely was 8, Thorn called them all together and told them it was time to split up. Dory and Ori went south, and Nori generally stuck fairly close to them, though he preferred his freedom to any sort of stability. Owen moved to Edinburgh and set up a quiet existence there, hiding in plain sight. Glowen did his best to shelter his brother. Thorn and Dwalin kept traveling, always looking for Smaug's weaknesses, and Balin and Beaufort stayed with Beaufort as best they could, nursing him through the worst of his injury as he struggled to learn to communicate again. Feely sometimes felt like a bit of baggage that had been left at a train station. Thorn tucked him into the back seat of his little car most of the time, putting up with their energy and questions for as long as he could. Then he would pass them off for a bit. They spent time in England with Dory and Ori, and Keely hated every minute of it. He said he couldn't breathe. They sometimes hid with Owen, but he had little energy to keep up with their enthusiasm, and they always wound up in trouble. Edinburgh with Owen was where Feely learned to hack. He stole books and spent his days in dark computer cafes, learning from the best in exchange for the enthusiastic praise they craved. Keely wandered the streets, but only where Feely allowed him, and learned to blend in with the wild youth, dodging the police and making friends with all sorts of unsavory folk. They loved him, the hidden people, and he glowed with pride when he showed Feely the things he was learning. They did best with Balin and Beaufort and Beaufort, to no one's surprise. There, usually tucked away in a quiet village somewhere in the highlands or on Skye, they learned. Balin taught them history and the love of words, pressing books into hands that were unwilling at first, and then taking them away again late at night to force the lads to sleep. He made the stories of Scotland come alive in wild words, and their hearts beat faster to the sound of drums that had been silenced for hundreds of years. Beaufort was surprisingly patient with them, teaching them to write and correcting their letters with precise fingers, and they loved him fiercely, their quiet uncle. Beaufort teaches them kindness and how to smile at a stranger and make them love you. They never forget. Feely likes staying with them, tucked away in the quiet. They feel safe there, and Keely can wander free, and Feely sleeps soundly. Keely wants the family to travel together again, and prefers to go with Thorn and Dwalin, wherever they happen to be. They learn geography by seeing every inch of it, and Dwalin insists they learn maths, and teaches them himself. It is an unmitigated disaster, but he never gives up. They start traveling alone when Feely is 14. They're young enough to blend into school groups and travel unseen, but old enough to be responsible for one another. At first, Thorn only lets them travel between one group of family and another, and Feely has to report in as soon as they've reached their destination. By the time he's 16, as long as they check in with family every other day or so, no one much minds. Nori teaches them to pick locks and pockets, and to steal enough to keep body and soul together, but never enough to get caught. They move fast, keeping to themselves, and no one looks at them twice. He knows Thorin worries they are growing complacent. He just knows they're good at what they do. Keely turns 15 on a warm summer day. They're lounging around Linlithgow, waiting for the family to congregate in Edinburgh, for the first time in ages. They try to get together once every few months, or when Thorin has news. They lounge in the sun by the loch, eating stolen apples that a curly-haired grocer was kind enough to pretend he didn't see them stealing. It's the best meal they've had in days. Keely finally breaks the silence, bouncing upright to kneel in the soft grass. I'm going to do it, he says confidently.
You're not,
Feely says lazily through a mouthful of apple.
I will too,
Keely protests, looking hurt. I can do this. Make me the ID and I'll get the job done. Feely grins at him, lying back in the grass to let the sun warm his face.
You'll never pull it off. Harriet's is way too posh. They'll spot you in a moment.
Keely has a wild notion. His street friends in Edinburgh have taught him how to sneak into George Harriet's school, which is about the poshest place Feely knows of. Keely has figured out that several of the students are the children of members of the government. He wants to pose as a student and befriend them.
It's worth the risk,
Keely insists. He lies down too, head nearly touching Feely's.
It's a door, Fee. Who knows what we could gain?
Not worth it if it's you, Feely says quietly. Keely sighs and swats at the top of his head.
You sound just like Thorin.
They lie quietly for a few minutes, enjoying sunshine and full bellies and peace. Please, Keely says, finally. I'm not going to get caught. Feely sighs. He's sleepy in the sunlight. Too many restless nights. I'll hack their system tomorrow and see what I can do. If it can't be done properly, you're not going. Keely flies to life, leaping atop him in childish delight, and they spend a few minutes wrestling and tumbling in the grass, until they're both laughing and thoroughly disheveled. He swats at Keely's hair as they stand to leave, knocking bits of grass back to earth. They walk to the train station, words tumbling quietly between them.
Do you think he'll be proud?
Keely asks suddenly, not looking at Feely. They don't need a name.
If I do it, I mean.
He's always proud, Feely assures him. Their shoulders bump together as they walk.
He's proud of you, Keely says evenly.
He thinks I'm a child.
That may be true, so Feely says nothing, just walks beside his brother and pats his shoulders. They drift apart to find their invisible way onto the trains.
It worries him, sometimes, how confident Keely is in himself. Not that he isn't skilled, of course. Feely's never seen him miss a target. But he's delighted by his own abilities, and he wants so very much to make Thorin proud. It never occurs to him that he might fail. They meet in Owen's tiny, awful flat, crowding in until there's hardly room to breathe or move, and they all ruffle Keely's hair and tell him that he's grown. Which is not true, Feely thinks a little resentfully. Keely is smaller than he should be, short and scrawny, and he knows his brother should be eating better than he does. Ori slips him a beer, and Feely grins at him gratefully. He's not used to drinking. It goes to his head. Dwalin and Thorin and Balin and Dori end up huddled together in a corner, heads together as they strategize about taking down Smaug, and Keely pesters Feely until he gives in and pulls out his laptop. Harriet's may be posh, but their security is a joke, and he's into the system in moments, fashioning Keely a new identity. Keely crows with triumph when he's done, and Feely sees Thorin's head go up quickly. First mistake. He makes his way over steadily, and Feely elbows Keely, hoping he'll settle down. But Keely is all excitement, mind running 1,000 miles a minute as he plans his new venture.
What's this?
Thorin asks, gesturing vaguely at both of them, and Feely shrugs a shoulder. Keely has an idea about a new source of information. We're getting things set up. Casual. Easy. Thorin could just leave it alone, and they'll be fine.
It's going to be brilliant!
Keely enthuses, eyes bright. He's smiling wider than Feely has seen in ages, as the pieces of his plan come together.
Second mistake.
Because now Thorin is curious, and Feely knows bloody well he's not going to approve. It takes him about 12 seconds to understand the plan, and another 2 to completely and utterly reject it. He shakes his head, anger building in his eyes.
This is what you two get up to the second my back is turned. Must I set someone to mind you at every moment?
Keely's face falls, and Feely turns away, hurting for him.
Uncle Thorin, I can do this!
Keely tells him. His voice is quiet and certain, and more hopeful than it really has any right to be.
I'll blend right in. I already have targets selected. It'll be easy.
Thorin shakes his head, patting Keely's shoulder dismissively, and looks at Feely. He's disappointed.
I expected better of you,
he says quietly.
You're meant to be keeping him out of trouble, not shoving him into it.
I agree with him,
Feely says, getting angry.
Thorin, Keely can do it. It's a good plan.
He knows it isn't, really. Thorin does not like being argued with, and his eyes snap, an icy blue that makes Feely draw back.
Keely is a child, he says harshly, and you're a little better than one. You will mind your elders. We are trying to reclaim our home. I do not have time to deal with this reckless foolishness.
Keely's face has gone white with hurt and shame, and Feely's fingers are tight on the edge of the table. The tips of his ears feel hot. Thorin shakes his head and turns away, heading back towards a serious discussion with the adults. Feely sets his jaw tight, shoving his laptop back into his bag and standing up. He pulls Keely to his feet, patting his shoulder in solidarity. Beaufort meets them by the door. His eyes are sad, but he smiles at them as kindly as ever.
We'd best be off, Feely says.
He won't say that they're running away, but Keely's shoulder is shaking just a little under his hand, and they need to be gone.
We're headed back to Skye,
Beaufort tells them quietly.
Thought we'd try our luck at Waternish for a bit. You should come.
They exchange a glance, only seconds long, and Feely nods. We'll be along within the week. They duck out into the night, and Feely's sigh is echoed a second later by the boy at his side. They hurry along the street, dodging lights and unfriendly glances, and putting distance between themselves and their family. They're getting awfully good at running.
Oh, the wind whistles down the cold dark street tonight, and the people, they were dancing to the music vibe, and the boys just girls in the hair while they shout to men who just sit way over there. And songs they get louder, each one better than before. And you're singing the songs, thinking this is a life. And you wake up in the morning and your hip is twice the size. Where you gonna go, where you gonna go, and where you gonna sleep tonight? And you're singing the songs, thinking this is a life. And you wake up in the morning and your hip is twice the size. Where you gonna go, where you gonna go, and where you